And we have a very special guest today. John really, really is gracious to us to allow Pastor and Missionary Brian Gandy to speak today. So let's give it up for Pastor Brian Gandy.
Missionaries always carry backpacks with them all over the world. So I can't go far without my backpack. So that and I have props. So let's pray before we get into the word. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for meeting us here. Lord, you are the way maker, the miracle worker. And you have done a miracle in our lives by restoring us to fellowship with the Father. So, Lord, we ask that we would get to know you just a little bit more this morning, and that we would be receptive to what you are speaking into our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. Again, my name is Brian Gandy. I am a pastor and a missionary. I pastor a small fellowship of Asian Indian believers here in Phoenix. And I go and I train pastors in India, Nepal, Thailand. And then I'm also making my first trip into Africa in May. So I will be going to Uganda and Liberia in May. Very excited about that. India still has me locked out. Well, not just me. They just have everybody locked out because of this whole COVID thing. And so when I show pictures, missionaries always show pictures. And I don't want to disappoint you by not showing pictures, but that will be after the message. So besides being a pastor and a missionary, I'm really passionate about intimacy with Christ. That is the key to the Christian life. And so I'm going to be speaking this morning about intimacy with Christ. But I'm going to use this as an example, a friend of mine. And I'll tie all this up at the end of the message. I have a friend, some of you know him, his name is Randy Southwick. We've known each other for 38 years. And he mentored me, so I'm sorry, you can blame him. He at least got me to stop cursing in my public prayers, so I've come a long way. I was a truck driver for many years, so this is what he's had to work with. He now lives in North Carolina, but we are very, very close. We were, like I said, he mentored me. We started having breakfast together once a week roughly about 30 years ago, and even though he moved 6 years ago to North Carolina, that group, we still meet today, every week, every Tuesday morning. So if you're a guy, I'm sorry, ladies, yeah, you have your own ladies' things. But if you're a guy and you're by the place at 51st Avenue and Bell on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, you're welcome to just come hang out with us. We don't do anything overtly spiritual, but God always shows up and does something. So, but Randy and I, we would have breakfast.
Okay. 1, 2, 1, 2, testing. Are we on now? Okay. So, in India, this is how we roll. I mean, I've preached by candlelight or with fans going. This is why I preach from an iPad now. The fans don't blow my pages on my iPad. So, you do what you got to do. So, Randy and I, we started having breakfast over 30 years ago, and then we were on the same pastoral staff together, and we spent a lot of time hanging out. I've even tricked him into going to India with me twice. Once I had to bribe him. I said, hey, if you go to India with me, we'll go to Germany and then we'll go to Prague. Randy has always wanted to go to Prague. So I said, you go to India with me and then we'll go to Germany and then we'll hop on a train. We'll go visit Prague. He goes, okay, I'm in. I'm not above bribing people to go with me to India, but we're really close, really tight friends. And in this process of hanging out together, we have started to look like one another, which is weird. But you know, some people will have a dog, and pretty soon their dog, either they start looking like their dog or the dog will start looking like them. I don't have a dog. I have a Randy. And so when we were on the same pastoral staff, we would have people that would run up, and they would come up to me, and they say, Pastor Randy, that sermon you gave last week just really blessed me. And it happened so often that I would just say, oh, God bless you. Thank you for the encouragement. And they would run off, and I would say, hey, Randy, so-and-so, they really enjoyed your message last week. Or they would run up to him and say, Pastor Brian, thank you for coming to visit me in the hospital. And he would say, oh, you look so much better now. Thank you. Thank you. And then he would tell me, hey, so-and-so, they really liked it that you came to visit them in the hospital. I mean, this didn't just happen once. This was over and over and over again. And so I started to kind of get a feel for what this word abide means. Okay, turn in your book to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'm going to start in verse number 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As I was praying about what to share with you this morning, the Lord just kept bringing me back to this passage. This passage continually draws me to what the Lord has called me to do in the kingdom. My job, believe it or not, is not to be a pastor. My job is not to convert people. My job is to move people towards Christ. We had a couple that was meeting with us from a different faith. They were meeting in our little Indian fellowship, and someone was trying to be a little more direct with them about what they needed to do. And this person said, "Well, you need to pray the sinner's prayer." And they said, well, we've done that. Well, okay, now you need to be baptized. They said, well, we're not ready for that yet. Oh, yes, you need to be baptized. I went up to him after the service, and I said, hey, look, don't let anybody pressure you into taking baptism. That's the term that they will use, taking baptism. I said, don't let anybody pressure you into taking baptism, because if someone can talk you into taking baptism, then, you know, when you go back to India, you could convert back to your previous religion. And so you just wait. And when Jesus tells you to take baptism, then you will never go back. And so as we were going along, I said to him one time, I said, you know, you just let me know, because I want to be the one who baptizes you. I said, I'm not pressuring you into taking baptism. I said, but when Jesus tells you, I want that privilege. I got to baptize that couple just a few months before they moved back to India. And they're still in the faith. They are still going to a church in India that they came over here as another faith. I'm being, you know, if this is going out over the internet, I don't want to cause trouble for anyone. So I'm using toned down words. But my job is not to convert somebody. My job is to move them towards Christ. That's what I see this passage as being all about. It's intimacy with Christ. And if I can get you to move towards Christ just a little bit, then I've done what God's called me to do. The word abide is used 7 times in these 8 verses, and a total of 11 times in this chapter. I think Jesus is wanting them to see something about abiding. So let's dive into this passage and see what the Lord would be speaking to us this morning. Back in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, just to give you a little background of what's going on, this is Jesus' last night on earth as, well, okay, this is Jesus' last night before he goes to the cross. Let's put it that way. And he is with his disciples in the upper room, but we don't know if he is walking towards the Mount of Olives or if this is still set in the upper room. I like to think that he is on his way to the Mount of Olives. And as he's walking with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, he would have passed right by the temple. Now, Passover always has a full moon. So it would have been pretty well lit. As you walk by the temple, you would have seen the big doors to the temple. And what was on the doors of the temple except a grapevine in gold? And so as they're walking by, I can just see Jesus catching a glimpse of this grapevine on the doors of the temple. And he says, I am the true vine. Now, when he starts off, he uses a term that he uses very, very often. He says, in Greek, it says, ego eimi, I am. Many times you see Jesus say, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. As he's walking by, he says, I am the true vine. And then he goes on to say that he is that vine. Now, in this culture, what would that mean? I am the true vine. Let me give you my take on it. He's saying, I am the true source of life. I am the true source of life. There are others who promise life but can't deliver it. But I am the true source of life. And my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. Now, what is the job of the gardener? To tend the vine. But some of what he does could be a little uncomfortable for the branches. He starts in verse number 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. You know, there are those in the church that they look like they're true branches. They look good on the outside. If you looked at anybody, they would go, whew, that guy's a branch. Yeah, I think of Judas. When they were in the upper room, they were getting ready to have the Last Supper. And Jesus says, one of you will betray me. You know, not one of the disciples guessed Judas. They all said, Lord, it's not me, is it? But, hey, Jesus trusted Judas with the money bag. And so nobody suspected Judas. He looked the part. He looked good. But there are those who look the part. They hang around. But there's a big difference. And we'll see as we move along. You know, it is not our job to go around and figure out who the branches are that aren't really attached to Christ. What makes a branch, let me put it a different way. If a branch is not attached to Christ, it's going to die. And it will never produce fruit. When you separate a branch from a tree, it doesn't produce anything. But God knows. God knows who is attached and who is not. That's not our job. Jesus didn't say, I am the vine, and you're going to be the one who tends the vine. It's not our job. We are not to be the gardeners. We are to move people towards Jesus, because even if a vine is, if a branch is not attached to the vine, God can graft it in. So our job is not to go around and say, I've been watching, and I don't think you're a branch. Now, we love that job. That's our favorite job. You get on social media, and you interpret it through this passage, and you'll be going, wow, we got a lot of gardeners out there. My job is not to be the gardener. My job is to move people towards Christ. This could also be interpreted a little bit different. I had a teacher one time. His name was Earl Rodmacher, Dr. Earl Rodmacher. He was in Israel one time, and he was going on a bus, and he went by a grapevine, and he said, stop the bus, stop the bus. And so they pulled the bus over, and he says, everybody get out. And as they all got out, he went to the vineyard, and he says, look, John 15, John 15. And they're all going, yeah, we don't get it. What are you talking about? In Israel, they grow the grapevines on the ground. And then when the season comes, they stack rocks up and they start to prop them up. They lift up the vines and the branches. Here's the picture. The gardener will lift up the branches so they can have room to start growing grapes. And then he'll take a bucket and he'll go through, and he'll wash the leaves and clean the leaves off and water and prune anything away that will prohibit growth in the branches so that they will be able to produce fruit. So, in verse number 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And the word interpreted takes away could also be interpreted as lifts up. Isn't that cool? Every branch that's not bearing fruit, he's going to lift up. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. The gardener doing his work to get us to where we are producing fruit. God's desire is that we are fruitful. In verse 3, Jesus says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That should take us back to the upper room. Turn to John 13, just a couple chapters back. John 13 and verse 10. He had washed the disciples' feet, and then Peter, who was never at a lack of words, says, Lord, Lord, not my feet, but my whole body. You know, first he said, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And he says, well, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. Then he changed his mind and says, okay, then wash my whole body. Here's what he said to Peter in verse number 10. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not every one of you. And he was referring to Judas there. Now, in verse number 3 of chapter 15, he says, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And then in verse number 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What do you call a branch that is not attached to the vine? When I was a kid, it was always called a switch. Yeah, you know. You know. Dad would say, hey, go out and get me a switch. So then it was my job to go out, and I had to choose the exact right switch. If the branch is too thick, it's going to hurt. But if it's too thin, it's going to hurt. It'll sting. But if it's too thin, then Dad would say, oh, this isn't good. Now he would go out with me to choose the right switch. And that increased the mental anguish. He would take that switch and then he would sit down and he would trim on it with his pocket knife, play with it a little bit, get it just right. And the whole time I'm going, Dad, just spank me, would you? A twig, a branch that's not attached is dead. It can't produce fruit. It can't do anything. It's not even good to build with. You can't make a house out of it. About the only thing you can make with it is a fire. A branch not attached to the vine only causes destruction. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I was in India. Pastor Randy was with me on that trip. We had spent about a month in India, and we go to Thailand. And I'd been ministering to persecuted pastors in India, and I was spent. I was emotionally spent. I was drained. I was done. And we went to Thailand, and a friend of mine says, hey, when you're in Thailand, hey, go to this church. I've been there many times. I said, okay. So I just wanted to go to church. So Randy and I went to this church in Bangkok, and the worship was incredible. I mean, just ministered to my soul. First of all, I could understand the words. Hadn't been able to understand words in worship songs for about a month. And now I'm able to understand the words, and my soul is worshiping, and I'm being restored. The message was fantastic. And so I went up to the pastor afterwards, and I said, hey, I just want to thank you. Your body of Christ right here has ministered to my soul. And he was an American man. I said, tell me, how did you get here? Tell me your story. He said, you know what? I built a mega church in America. He said, and then I had my Nebuchadnezzar moment where I'm sitting in my office and I said, look at this church I built. And I sat back and just took it all in. He said, and the Lord said, yes, look at this church you built. and you did it all without me. And it crushed him. He dropped to his knees. He called his elder board together and he said, I resign effective today. They said, no, we can fix this. He said, no, I'm the problem. We can't fix it. You fix it. I have to leave. Because apart from Christ, I did what looked good, but it was nothing. He said, I repented. God brought me here to Thailand, and now the Lord has built this church, and we get to minister to people for about 3 years, and then God sends them somewhere else around the world. He said, and I'm having the time of my life. We can do a lot of things, but apart from Christ, it matters nothing. Jesus is our true source of life. Verse number 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Again, it's not your job to go gathering branches. What if God is doing a work so deep in someone's life that the fruit has not developed enough to where you have seen, you can see it? You see, you're not the omnipotent gardener. We often judge by the externals. But God is doing something deep in people's lives. And guess what? There's a lot of people who can fake fruit. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, he was a truck driver, and he drove locally around Arizona. And one night he said, Brian, I need you to make my lunch for me. I'm just exhausted. I'm going to go to bed. I've always been kind of a mischievous kind of kid. So as I gathered his lunch, you know, he told me, you know, put some fruit in there. And so as I went by the table, I grabbed the plastic banana and put it in his lunch. He did laugh eventually. But the plastic banana looks good. He pulled it out, and it looked like a banana. But then he realized, well, looks aren't everything. See, our job is not to produce fake fruit. Our job is to abide. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You can check your prayers against what we call the disciples' prayer. When we read this verse in our American Christianity, we go, sweet! I can ask whatever I want, and I get it. I want a Ferrari. God has to give me a Ferrari now because I can ask whatever I wish, and I wish for a Ferrari. That is so foreign to the biblical concept. Let's look at the disciples' prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'll start in verse number 9. And I'm reading from the ESV, so some of yours may be a little bit different. There's some added things in some later manuscripts. I'm not going to go into all of that, but just go with me on this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our Ferraris. Oh, no, wait. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's no prayer in there for a big house. There's no prayer in there for a summer house in the mountains. I have nothing against summer houses in the mountains. And if you want to test me on that, give me the keys to your summer house, and I will go up there, and I will rejoice, and I'll worship Christ. Okay? I don't have a problem with that. The problem is not wealth. It's when wealth becomes your God. That becomes a problem. We think in America that God will give us our idols. God never promises to give us our idols. And if he blesses us, praise God. But we shouldn't be chasing after that as if that's our sole focus. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. So we can check our prayers against this disciple's prayer and check to make sure, am I abiding? Is this an abiding prayer? Verse number 8, back in John 15, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, have you ever seen a vineyard, a grapevine? I asked that one time in India, and they went, yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about. I said, okay, let me put it in Indian context. Jesus is saying, I am the trunk of the mango tree. They went, oh, okay, I got that. And you are the branches, okay? And the mangoes are the fruit. You go, ah, we get it now. I said, how many times have you gone out and looked up into your mango tree and saw the branch going, come on, fruit, come on? No, fruit is just a byproduct of abiding in the trunk, on the vine. Fruit is just a byproduct of abiding with the vine, abiding in Christ. You will bear much fruit. Okay, so what is the fruit? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. I believe the rest of this, after that, is just a description of the love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All different forms of love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is produced by abiding with Christ. Intimacy with Christ produces love. And then at the end of verse number 8 in John 15, it says, this is the proof that you're my disciple. Not that we are trying to produce fruit, but fruit is a byproduct. When you walk up to an apple tree, and you see apples hanging off the branches, what do you know about that tree? It's an apple tree. When you walk up to a mango tree and there's fruit hanging off the branches of the mango tree, you know it's a mango tree. When you cut a believer off in traffic, what fruit is being displayed? What kind of fruit is displayed in your social media post? That's not for me to judge. I'm not a gardener. But that would be a good idea to check what kind of fruit you're displaying. Because the fruit you display proves that you're his disciple. It doesn't make you his disciple. It's proof that you are his disciple. The other thing about a reproductive or about a fruitful tree is that it is reproductive. The fruit of the Spirit is not for us to consume. It's so others can taste and see that the Lord is good. But what's inside the fruit? A seed. A seed that will be for reproduction. We need to be reproducive. We need to be reproducing branches. Now, in this section of Scripture, we've seen this idea of abiding. I struggled with that for years. Lord, what are you trying to tell me in abiding? And then he reminded me of the picture of my friend Randy. You see, we had hung out so much together that pretty soon we started to look like one another. This is the idea of abiding. Jesus wants you to hang out with him so much that people start to mistake you for Jesus. I want you to abide with Christ. I want you to become that intimate with Christ to where people say, you remind me of someone. Who is that? You remind me of Jesus. Now, we may not remind people of Jesus by some of our social media posts. Just saying. But I want to give you another picture of abiding. For this, I need volunteers. I've already had my first volunteer. Come on up. What is your name? Gabriella? Gabriella. Okay. Would you stand right here? Okay. How old are you, Gabriella?
14.
That's awesome. This is Gabriella. If you don't know Gabriella, you probably do. But now I know Gabriella. You are my main character, okay? I told her I just need someone with a willing heart. Now I need 5 other volunteers. So there's one. I need you to stand here. Now the longer it takes, the longer the service is. I'm just saying. So, need you to keep going over. Right there. Now step over here now a little bit. I need 2 more. 2 more. Okay, thanks for the 2 volunteers back here in the back. These are friends of mine, so I can embarrass them. This is Caleb and Allie. I paid them to come. Okay. You can take one on either side. Doesn't matter. Okay. Okay, Jesus was a visual teacher, right? I'm a visual learner. So, as I was contemplating, Lord, how can I teach this in a way that is real to everybody? Russian nesting dolls. Okay, I picked these up when I was in the Amazon. Well, we just call it Amazon online. So I'm work with me here. Is my mic working at all? The other one? 1 2 1 2 1 2. Hey, there we go. Okay. I can scream. Now, I need you to hold that one and that one. I need you to hold that one and that one. This is our main character. What is her name?
Gabriella.
So you get to hold this one and this one. You get to hold this one. And this one, you get to hold this one, and that, and there's, that one's for you. It's because you're the smallest one here. Okay. Now, I'm going to read some verses, and then we're going to try and illustrate this. In John 14, verses number 15 through 21, says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Okay, who's that helper?
Holy Spirit.
Okay. See, you guys know how to interpret the Bible. Verse 17.
even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Pedro, you're the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's a good job. Okay? Verse number 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will not see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Michelle, you're the Father, okay? And you, you're who?
Natalie.
What? You're Jesus. Jesus. You're Jesus. And you are?
The main character, Gabriella.
Gabriella.
Yeah.
Okay? So, here's the idea. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is in you. But work with me on this illustration. Then the Holy Spirit is in the Father. The Father is in Christ. So this is the triune God. Now, where is the triune God? In Gabriella. Right? Yeah. So, the Holy Spirit is with the Father and Jesus Christ in Gabriella. Verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, turn to John chapter 17. You didn't know that this was going to be this interactive today, did you? I like to have fun. John chapter 17, verses number 18 through 23. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Guess what? That's us. Your name is written right here in the Bible. Verse 21. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So, Caleb, you are Jesus, okay? So, Gabriella is hidden in Jesus. And then Jesus is hidden in the Father. You're the Father also. Okay, everybody can go sit down except for Gabriella. You're my main star. You see, Gabriella has the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son in her, and then she is hidden in Christ in the Father. That is intimacy. This is where we should see ourselves. You're not opening that up, are you? Okay. You're going to ruin my whole illustration if you... Okay. Verse number 22 says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Did you know that the Father loves you just like he loves Jesus? That's pretty stinking cool, right?
That's awesome.
Now, not only that, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So, okay, you can go sit down now. I've embarrassed you enough. Did I embarrass you?
Yeah.
That was my goal. When you see Gabriella, she has the Spirit, the Father, the Son in her, and then she has the Son and the Father surrounding her, and then she's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the days of kings, if they sent a letter, they would put their seal upon the letter. And no one could open that letter except for the king or the one he was sending it to. Otherwise, you have to be stronger than the king to open that letter. Now, being that the triune God is the only non-created being, there is no one stronger than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the intimacy we have with Christ. Inside, sealed on the outside, no one can get to us. Now, they may be able to hurt our body. They may do all kinds of terrible things. But there is a fellowship of suffering that we have with Christ that is only found through that suffering, in that suffering. We don't like suffering, but it is a part of our intimacy with Christ. My goal is I want you to see who you are in Christ, and that develops our intimacy with Christ. I want you to abide with Christ. I want you to hang out with Christ. And you will take on the look of Christ. Let me pray, and then I'll show you some pictures and stuff. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for drawing us into an intimate relationship with you. Lord, we ask that we would be more intimate with you because we met with you today. We got to see you today. So, Lord, we love you. And I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon each one here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when Pastor John asks, "So what did you guys do?" Yeah, we played with dolls. That's what Brian does. Okay, I'm going to show pictures. Are we good? Okay, this is my beautiful wife. She's the one with hair. Her name is Denise. It's spelled differently. It's D-E-N-I-C-E. D-Nice. Of course, I have dad jokes. She's Denise. I'm Denephew. So all of those. And then, did I tell you about a lady named Nagamani last time I was here? Okay. I probably did, because her story is just so cool, and it just keeps getting cooler. Now, I need to warn you ahead of time. The next couple slides are going to be difficult to look at. So if you are queasy, I'll tell you when to look, okay? So next slide. This is Nagamani. I was in a little village in India, and they asked me to pray for this woman. And she pulled a towel off of her head, and this is what I saw. I put my hand on her head, and I prayed for her, and I spent the next several days weeping. "Lord, why would you show me this if there's nothing I can do about it?" I'll shorten the story. Over a couple months' time, we were able to work with people here in America, work with people in India, and we got her on a train, got her to a hospital, found out that this is the result. Go ahead and go to the next slide. If you're queasy, don't look. This is what she looked like before we got her on the train. They found out this is not a cancerous tumor. This is the result of a bacteria that got introduced into a head wound 3 years earlier. And it developed into this grotesque tumor that smelled horrible. She almost got kicked off the train on the way to the hospital and because of the smell. We were able to get her into a private room, and she got to the hospital. And I talked with the head of the hospital, and he said, if you can raise enough money in America, because we've already gone through most of our compassion budget for the fiscal year, we'll treat her over here, and we'll see where God meets us in the middle. It was Bangalore Baptist Hospital. So they took her in. Go ahead, go to the next slide. So they took her in, and you can look now if you are queasy. They took her in, and they helped her. Go ahead. They did all kinds of tests. Next one. I love her smile. They said, okay, here's the problem. You've got this infection. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the tumor to reduce down as much as we can using antibiotics. We're going to send her home, and then once it's reduced down, then we'll do facial reconstruction surgery to remove the rest of the tumor. So this is her on the way home. Again, I love her smile. Everybody had abandoned Nagamani. The only one that would help feed her were the Christians. She became a believer. Her family had left her. Her husband moved out into the jungle on his own. Next. And then next slide. COVID hit. We lost track of her. She lives in such a remote village. She does not have cell coverage in that village. The nurse that we had going in to help tend the wound couldn't go in because of the lockdown. We lost track of her for several months, and it wasn't until July of last year that we were able to get somebody in there, and they sent me this picture. Now, she has not had any surgery. This is the hand of God and the antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Next slide. Her family has been restored to her. I know her husband's a believer now, and her children, I think, are too young to take baptism right now. But she said, I want to tell people what God has done for me. Next slide. So my friend, Pastor Jay, who was with me when we went to go visit her, when we went and we found her, he went back, he arranged a meeting where she could tell her neighbors what God has done in her life. Go ahead to the next slide. And so they met in her home. Next slide. And she got to share what God has done, and Pastor Jay got to preach the gospel. Go ahead. While she was recovering, this is where she lived. This is where they keep hay for the cattle. Pastor Jay told me, he said, he's expecting to have about 8 baptisms in this village because of the testimony of a woman that God touched and healed her. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is Ajit and Mariam. Ajit and Mariam, they were from a different faith, and they moved down to the capital city of the state of Chhattisgarh, and God healed them of a local disease that they had going on there. And then God called them into ministry. Now, I'm a male leadership guy, but I'm not going to go blow something up that God is doing. I'll let God fix that, and he can do that in heaven. I don't want him to slap me down in heaven. Called them both to preach. Miriam is illiterate. She said, Lord, you've called me to preach, but I can't even read. He says, open your Bible. She opens up her Bible, and she could read. I don't have a box for that in my American Christianity. But God is at work outside of my boxes. They have gone back up to their home area. And a couple of years ago, they said, hey, we've got 300 new believers in our area. And we want you to help us disciple them. But it's not safe for them if I go up there. So we're bringing some of their leaders down and we're training them. In 2020, just since the lockdown, they've had 1,200 new believers and have planted 40 churches up in that area. God is not in lockdown. Nope. Next slide. And then the next slide. See, there's Pastor Randy with me back there. You can see his little head sticking up. Okay.
Which one is he?
He's the other white guy. Guy asked me one time, he goes, okay, so I'm going to just meet you in the airport? And I said, yeah. He said, how will I know it's you? I said, I will be the white guy. That's one way to find me. I will be the white guy. If there happens to be two, I will be the fat white guy. So, I mean, we're going to have it pretty well nailed down. You got a choice of maybe two at the most. These are a couple of areas we're working in. We're working in three areas, and in 2020 alone, including the total with Ajit and Marion's 1,200 new believers and 40 churches, God has brought in 2,300 new believers, and they've planted 70 churches. I am so dying to get back because they've got new pastors that need training. God is still at work. God is bringing in a harvest. Next slide. We may be. This is Ajit and Marion. This is in Raipur. Yeah, there's Pastor Randy with me. See, I don't see we think we look alike, but a lot of people do. So he's taller, not as fat. Next slide. We just need fishermen. I will make you fishers of men. There's a harvest out there. Next slide. This is rice. And go to the next slide. And the fields are wide unto harvest. We're seeing that all around the world. And not just in India. We're seeing people coming to Christ all around the world. God is up to something fantastic. Thank you for being a part of that. You're one of my supporting churches. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. But you are. So thank you for partnering with us. Next slide. I just throw that in there because that's one of my favorite pictures I've ever taken of India. This is the Taj Mahal. The man, his name is Javier. He lives in Spain. But he was in India and he came and sat down in my picture when I was getting ready to take it. And I thought, cool, makes a better picture. And the next slide. This is just from a cemetery down in India. People are giving their lives for Christ. People are giving their lives to Christ. Be praying for India. They're trying to drive out all Western Christian influence. Actually, their goal is to drive out all Christians out of India. And so they're actively at work. Be praying for me as that my heart will be patient, waiting for God to open the door. And thank you for coming alongside of us. This is fruit to your account. So thank you very much. Let me pray for us. Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing around the world, and we thank you for letting us be a part of it. We ask that you would go before us, that you would show yourself strong, and that you would keep us abiding in you. Lord, would you draw us into that deep, intimate relationship with you? And may we see ourselves as you see us, through the lens of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to pronounce a blessing upon you. It's the Aaronic blessing. Not ironic. It's Aaronic from the God told Aaron, place my name upon my people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And if you do a study on that, it's basically, may the Lord smile upon you. May the Lord smile upon you. And may the Lord smile upon you. That's how he sees you. In Jesus' name, that's my prayer for you. Amen. Thank you very much.